Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Well, my thanks to Peter Wood last hour, and I again would highly recommend that book, Wrath, America Enraged. So, we have not talked about the Kyle Rittenhouse case, we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about it in the context of what may happen when the verdict comes down. Now, let me just say that I have not watched this case from beginning to end. I had the impression that probably many of you had that this was a 17-year-old kid who was looking for trouble from most of the reporting that I had seen a year ago at the time of his arrest. I certainly have taken a bit of a different view on it based upon what I have seen in the last few days. It looks to me as if the judge in that case is quite upset with the prosecution. And Rob, what I'd like to do is just to kind of set the stage here, is play a colloquy between the judge and the prosecutor. This is cut number 21A.
Held it open with a bias towards denial. Why would you think that that made it okay for you, without any advance notice, to bring this matter before the jury? I was astonished when you began your examination by commenting on the defendant's post-arrest silence. That's basic law. It's been basic law in this country for 40 years, 50 years. I have no idea why you would do something like that. And it gives, I'll leave it at that. So I don't know what you're up to.
The prosecution has bungled this case from what I can see. Put on one of the witnesses, the one witness that was shot by Rittenhouse and survived. And the prosecution witness on cross-examination acknowledged that he had a gun, which he pointed at Rittenhouse. And again, I'm not so much interested in getting into the specifics of the case, but I think this is a case that the American public thought was a slam dunk conviction based upon the reporting that came forward in the summer of 2020. If you remember, Rittenhouse is a 17-year-old kid from a small town in Illinois who crossed state lines with an AR-15, who said he was going there to protect private property when Kenosha had exploded into just overnight violence after there was a police shooting of an unarmed black man. Eventually, the police were cleared in that shooting. And I think that at one point, the victim, who survived, but I believe is paralyzed, or at least paralyzed from the waist down, said something to the effect that he understood what the police did. He was, I can't remember the precise words. Someone will remember the precise words for me. But it appeared that this kid had gone over there looking for trouble. And whether he went looking for trouble or not, he found it. And as the defense has put this case on, it's looked more and more like this is an actual case of self-defense. Alan Dershowitz talked about the prosecution witness, the main prosecution witness. There were two men killed. They happened to be white individuals, and one white guy. And the defendant, Rittenhouse, obviously is white as well. So the racial aspect of the story, and I think it was Lee asked that earlier, last hour, comes from the fact that the riots, the demonstrations, the fires resulted in the shooting of a black man by a white police officer. This was Alan Dershowitz talking about the prosecution main witness actually weakened the case of the prosecution, which is extraordinary. This is cut number 25, please, Rob.
It was classic cross-examination. It was a brilliant question, a brilliant way to formulate the question, and it totally knocks out the prosecution's theory that he was firing without himself being put in danger. You know, it was Oliver Wendell Holmes who once said that exquisite rationality is not to be expected in the presence of an uplifted knife. Obviously, yeah, the presence of an uplifted gun is even more serious. So I think this case, in the end, certainly the assault against this man would have to be thrown out because the prosecution's main witness admitted that the firing of the shot came only after he was pointing a gun at this guy. So this weakens the prosecution's case.
I don't necessarily agree that the judge is in any position now to render a directed verdict. I think the case will go to the jury. If the case goes to the jury and comes back with an acquittal, there are those who are suggesting that there could be demonstrations. Chicago police have been put on notice that days off have been canceled. One article here out of WGN, one of the major TV stations in Chicago. Chicago police bracing for Rittenhouse verdict. There's also been some conversations in New York in an unrelated matter where the newly elected mayor of New York, the mayor-elect, who happens to be a former police captain, who will take over in January, has said that he intended to bring back certain plainclothes police officers. The lead spokesperson in New York for Black Lives Matter is threatening that if that is done, there could be some real problems in New York, including riots and bloodshed. So we're moving into a precarious time here. It's not summer, it's winter, but we could see, I think, sadly, some activity reminiscent of the summer of 2020. So I want to just open this up, give you a chance to comment in whatever way you want. When the Derek Chauvin conviction came down in Minneapolis, the police officer who murdered George Floyd, there was no rioting. Because I think people understood that the judicial system worked. Now, the judicial system has to work in both directions. And if there is an acquittal in the Rittenhouse case, I hope that cooler heads will prevail. I fear that some of those cooler heads will not prevail. So we'll go to phone calls. We'll talk about this until 11, and then we'll do a 20th hour at 11. So if you want to get in, the only two lines that are open right now is the ladies' line, 617-931-1030. We'll take your calls right after this break.
Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
So we have the Rittenhouse verdict in Kenosha probably coming down next week. Who knows what the verdict will be? And who knows what the response to that verdict will be. And then, meanwhile, in New York, there is a mayor-elect, former police captain, Eric Adams, who has made it clear that he wants to reinstate an anti-crime unit, a plainclothes anti-crime unit. Now, a fellow named Hawk Newsom, who's the founder of Black Lives Matter in New York City, or claims to be the founder, has basically said that is the equivalent to the Nazi Gestapo. And Newsom has threatened. He says if he, meaning the mayor-elect, former police captain, and again, black police captain Adams, thinks they're going to go back to the old ways of policing, then we're going to take to the streets again. There'll be riots, there'll be fire, and there'll be bloodshed because we believe in defending our people. He said the group prays for peace but prepares for the worst. Another news agency reports that his sister, Shivona Newsom, co-founder of the group, told a local newspaper, "We will shut down City Hall and we will give them hell and make it a nightmare." welcome to Gracie Mansion, Mr. Mayor-elect Eric Adams. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Mark in Worcester. Let's keep the conversation on topic tonight, everybody. And I'm going to ask everybody to be as direct as possible and as rational and reasonable as possible. And Mark will start us off. Hey, Mark, how are you tonight?
Pretty good. This kid Rittenhouse is on trial right now.
Yep.
How many charges were filed against him? Do you know?
I don't have the precise numbers, but he's looking at the worst charge against him, obviously, is a murder charge. He could go away. If convicted, he could go away for life.
So you think he's on? He has other charges besides that, I would assume.
Oh yeah, he's got, you know, he's got assault with intent, I'm sure. There's weapons charges. I do not believe that he owned the gun. Again, I haven't followed this trial on a, and I've said that earlier, Mark. So I'm being honest with you. I'm sure that they got him on. You know, there are lesser included charges. The jury could come back with an acquittal on the more serious charges and a conviction, you know, carrying a firearm underage. He was 17 years of age. I don't think he probably
legally...
Yeah,
so the biggie is murder.
Oh, yeah, it always is, right? Okay. Yeah.
If he's acquitted, what do you think is going to happen in Kenosha, Wisconsin, if that kid is acquitted? What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I fear it could get ugly. I mean, I know that the police department...
You fear it could get ugly.
Well, I know the police department in Kenosha, and that's why I'm looking for, you know, your thoughts as well, that the police department in Kenosha has been put on alert, just as the police department in Minneapolis was put on alert when the Chauvin verdict was coming down. And as a matter of fact, Chicago, which is only, I guess, about an hour away, their police department has had their days canceled off, canceled. So, yeah, there's a concern out in that part of the woods.
You remember what happened in Boston in 2020?
Yes, I do.
All the riots we had in Boston?
Yes, I do.
Some of them were peaceful. Some of them were not peaceful.
That's correct.
Some of them turned into riots.
Yep,
we
you're
had
correct.
Mass looting.
On Newbury Street.
You had film, not only on Newbury Street, there were many other places that were looted. I was sitting at home watching it, right? WBZ, WCBB, Channel 5. They had film crews out these people actually looting, right? I saw Boston police cruisers going right by these looters while they were looting. Two or three police cruisers go right by. Now, how many of those people were arrested and prosecuted for looting?
Well,
do you have any idea how many the district attorney
I don't have
arrested?
Them in front of me, Mark. I don't have them in front of me. I will tell you that there were some who were arrested and there were some who were prosecuted, but I don't have the lineup of how many of them got continued without a finding based upon their prior criminal records.
Yeah, well, you know, you had the other guy on, Peter.
Peter Dr. Wood.
Peter Wood.
That's correct.
And he made a reference as to where he perceives that the American people have their hackles up. You know, the reason why the American people have their hackles up is it seems to be a double standard within the last few years within the justice system within the United States of America. The people are sitting at home, and some people get away with just about anything they want to get away with. And other people are indicted and prosecuted to the full extent of the laws, and others aren't. It's like a double standard in our Justice Department. Have you perceived that? I certainly have.
Well, I don't know. Was there a double standard for Derek Chauvin?
Excuse me?
Was there
Derek
a double...
Derek Chauvin?
Yes. Do you know who Derek Chauvin is? The police officer, the Minneapolis police officer who murdered George Floyd.
No, he should have been prosecuted for what he did.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, I think that if you break the law, I'm like you. If you break the law, you should be prosecuted. It will be interesting to see how the Rittenhouse case comes out. I haven't sat and watch that on a day-to-day basis. But from what I'm seeing, the excerpts I'm seeing, my sense is this kid's going to be acquitted at least of the murder charges.
I don't know about that.
We'll see. We'll see. Mark, appreciate your call as always. Yeah. Talk to you soon. Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. Joe in Belmont. Joe, next on Nice Hat. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Dan. Could I take 44 seconds to offer my solution to unite the country with the crazies.
We'd love to have the country. Love to have the country united. Yep. Go ahead, Joe.
And to ease the wrath, it's all found in Father Keller's book. It is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. He was the founder of the Christophers, and he wanted to have people in government to be Christ-like into three people in life, Christ-like. And if people will read his book, You Can Change the World, it'll tell how to unite the country.
All right. I hope a number of people will take your advice, Joe. I appreciate
you. Even you, Dan.
What's that?
Even you.
Oh, I think I might take your advice too, Joe. I appreciate you taking the time to offer the advice.
God bless, Dan.
Right back at you, Joe. Have a great night. Okay, Jenny in Weymouth. Jenny, you are next on NYSAG. Right ahead.
Hey, Dan. A couple of things. First of all, I think the gentleman was spot on with the double standard. How you could question that at all is behind me. I can't believe
it. Who questioned the double standard?
Well, you mentioned Derek Chauvin as one case. Do you know who Mohammed Noor is?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, what happened with him, Dan? He shot that woman Justine. I forget her last name, up Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a Somali American. He was the first, I believe, the first Somali American to become a police officer in Minneapolis. He was in a police car. I think he was his first week on the job, if I'm not mistaken, and he. A totally overreacted. A woman who had thought she had heard, I believe, someone in the alley, had called 911. He responded. If I'm incorrect here, please let me know.
She heard someone being raped behind her home in an alley. Yeah.
She heard a noise. She called.
It wasn't a noise. She heard someone being raped specifically. Is what it was. It matters because it matters that a woman ran up to the car. Is my point.
Yes. Well, I don't know that they recall that the call was about a rape. I had heard that it was that she had summoned police because she heard something, a disturbance. How she identified it as a rape, if she heard a scream, I don't know. I'm trying to just explain to the audience, Jenny, if you'll let me, exactly what happened. The woman who had complained, who had called police, came out of the house. I think it was 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, as you would expect, in a bathrobe and a nightgown. And this police officer, who was in the passenger seat, panicked and fired one shot and killed her as she approached the police car. He was he was tried and convicted, sentenced for he was sentenced on a manslaughter charge and was sentenced to 10 years in prison.
And he was sentenced also for third degree murder. And what has since happened a few days ago? That charge was dropped. He's going to be out any day now. He will have served less than 2 years.
Didn't realize the charge was dropped. You're ahead of me on that one. I have no idea why the charge was dropped. They have third-degree murder in Minnesota is similar to what you would call a manslaughter case here. He was sentenced.
That wasn't murder.
They call it different. It's termed differently. The legislature in Minnesota passes a piece of legislation. Manslaughter can be called, I'm speaking to you now as a lawyer, Jenny. Manslaughter can be characterized differently in different states. Each state has their own set of homicide convictions, and they have definitions internally. And if you match the definition in certain states, manslaughter is not, every state does not have the same manslaughter conviction crime that we have here in Massachusetts. It's in effect a manslaughter crime in Minnesota.
My broader question was, why wasn't he charged with murder? Murder once.
Because you're asking me a question. I'll give you an answer, or if you want to ask the question and answer the question, you can do that.
Could I just finish my thought?
Sure, you can. But I thought you actually had asked the question. Pardon me for being mistaken there. Go ahead.
You always want to jump on me. I just said, why would
I want to jump on you, Jenny? I want to have a conversation with you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say please and thank you. When someone, in this case, Kyle Rittenhouse, was chased down the street, and I'm surprised you hadn't been more aware of this. The video's been out there all along. That's all you have to do is look at the video once. There were like a pack of wild dogs going after him, hitting him over the head with a skateboard, weapons, surrounded by a wild mob. And you know the kind of violence that was going on out there that night. And he was charged with murder, in which anyone that watches those videos, and there's many of them, and you can clearly see that that is self-defense under Wisconsin law. But someone like Mohammed Noor, I'm trying to say, why was he not charged with murder one when Kyle Rittenhouse is?
Do you want the legal answer or no?
I'd like a reasonable answer, yes.
Oh, well, I'm going to, you may not think the answer is legal, the answer is reasonable, but this is the legal answer, okay? Mm-hmm. In order to be charged with murder one, in most states, there has to be a concept of premeditation, deliberation, intent. The facts in the Noor case, and I don't know the facts in the Noor case other than what I just told you, was that this mm-hmm. guy, as a rookie police officer in the passenger seat of the car, totally overreacted and did something that was just absolutely reprehensible, but it wasn't as if he drove into that alleyway with the attitude of, I'm going to pop somebody and kill somebody tonight on my, I think it was his fifth night on the job. In the case of Rittenhouse, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jenny, I got to take a break because I got a news coming up here. If you want to hold on, I'll continue the conversation after the news. Fair enough?
Appreciate it. I just have one more thought.
Okay, we'll talk after the news. Coming back right after. If you'd like to join and have a conversation, folks, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. You might not agree with my answers, but give me the courtesy of at least explaining the answer to you. I will listen to what you say as I've listened to what Jenny has said. I'm not looking to get into a fight with anyone. I'm looking to find out what you think of the Rittenhouse case and what you think the verdict in the Rittenhouse case might result in. There are concerns amongst law enforcement tonight in Illinois and Wisconsin that a Rittenhouse acquittal, at least on the serious charges, could result in a spate of protests, which could morph into riots. And that's why police, not only in Wisconsin, but in Illinois and specifically in Chicago, have had their days off canceled. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. There's no need to be yelling at each other. Let's have a conversation. I'll try to do that, and I'm sure Jenny will try to do that when we get back on the other side of the news.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
Okay, let's get back to Jenny. This is Jenny, you there? Oh, I guess not. She hung up. Oh, well, I tried. She was there, but she hung up. And by the way, for those of you who are interested, as during the break, I took an opportunity to look at this case. And yesterday, this police officer, this former police officer, who was the first Somali-American on the police force, on the Minneapolis police force, the Minnesota Supreme Court tossed out his murder conviction and sentence last month, saying the third-degree murder statute didn't fit the case because it can only apply when a defendant shows a generalized indifference to human life, not when the conduct is directed at a particular person, as it was in this case. Again, I don't know what point Jenny was trying to make. Jenny, I'm disappointed that you did not stick around, and it looked to me like you attempted to, and if you hung up or inadvertently disconnected yourself, call back and we'll continue the conversation. I am enough of a lawyer to tell you that I haven't read the decision by the Minnesota State Supreme Court, but there are cases that sentences are reduced in all the time. Let's get back to the calls. We're talking about the Rittenhouse case and what might happen if it comes back with an acquittal or something less than a conviction on the murder charge. Matt in Plymouth. Matt, thanks for calling in. How are you tonight?
Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Let's talk about your take on the Rittenhouse case. Have you had a chance to watch much of it or no?
Yes. I want to start out by saying I watched the Kenosha Night with Kyle Rittenhouse live. Online, available. There was multiple multi-streamers, which are consisted of people that were there recording on their phones.
Yep.
And then other people were compiling those footages of people on their phones and then displaying them to people on the internet.
Yep.
That being said, if you sat and watched from the beginning when they were at the courthouse, the police pushed them out, and then they went into the suburban areas of Kenosha, or the urban areas of Kenosha, whatever you want to call it, the crowd that was there was looking for blood. And they were met with a bunch of people that seemed to be LARPing, which is live action role playing, dressed up as libertarian and pro Second Amendment advocates, which Kyle Rittenhouse had moved into that group, who also was previously thanked by the police for being there, despite the civil, I don't want to call it disobedience, but the civil disconnect between the two factions that appear to be in America. The cops are there thanking these people for being out here to protect used car deals or whatever they were doing. But the group that was there, once they got dispersed from the courthouse, were looking for bloodshed. If you watched the live stream from when it started to when it ended, Reggie Incognito, that's just who I was watching, and there was a couple other that I can't think of their name.
Well, before you get too far downstream from me, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Clearly, there were people there who were upset that a white police officer had shot and killed the black gentleman, not shot and killed, had shot, wounded, and I guess ultimately paralyzed the man who was running from the house.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, the man who was running from the house had been involved in a domestic dispute with his wife, with his either girlfriend or former wife or something like that.
Yes, sir.
So that, coming on the heels of the George Floyd incident a couple of months earlier, started a lot of people demonstrating, and there were fires and demonstrations and riots and destruction of property. We saw all of that. Okay.
Yep.
So the police were there, and my focus has been on this 17-year-old kid who came over from Illinois.
Who worked in Kenosha previously.
Right, but he came.
Yeah, he came over state lines. He didn't bring a gun, though. Somebody gave it to him. But yeah, he came over state lines. He worked in Kenosha. He's still
a 17-year-old kid who's coming in to a volatile situation. That's not a good look, because it's like, okay, there's a police department there. There potentially is National Guard troops or whatever. What is he adding to it? He's coming in there, and I think the perception is that he's coming in there when I use the word vigilante, I know that that's a word that has a very pejorative connotation. Normally, you think of a vigilante as someone going out and going after someone. He's going in effect, as he's presenting himself as a protector of property rights and protector of individuals, claim to be an EMT and all of that. But his presence there, I think, ignited a situation which ultimately ended in the death of two individuals.
Along with everybody else that was out there LARPing, including the quote-unquote protesters.
Well, again, you're using the word, let me just say this, Matt. This is what I've got a problem with. You're using the word LARPing. I don't know what that word means, and if you could explain that.
Want me to explain it to you?
Yes, I do. That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Live action role playing. So this consists primarily with people that believe in medieval times, and they'll dress up as medieval characters, and they'll go out and live action role play, which means you're going to assume the role of somebody, and then you're going out in the live world, and it's live action. You're playing as this persona. So if you watch the footage, you can see people with the libertarian. What the hell is that? It's a little spike, the armadillo or something like that. You will see people in the footage that are dressed up in a way, and they do not look like they're trained and ready to actually deal with the situation, but they all have guns strapped to them, and they're acting in a way in which it seems they are acting. It is live action. They are role playing.
Okay. So what is, and again, I think now I'm going off. I appreciate the explanation. So what does that have to do with, I want to focus back on the charges that Rittenhouse currently faces and,
yep.
And which direction the trial has taken. And he's the one who's on trial. If it comes back with an acquittal of murder, there's concern within authorities that we're going to have a renewal of riots. That's what I'm talking about. A bunch of people running around in, you know, either Shakespearean costume or Pilgrim Park costume or whatever.
Well, they're dressed up like military men. It's basically what you want to do. Okay. That's the gist of the live action role playing.
Okay, so
be acquitted in. Wait a sec.
So, was he doing that in your opinion, or was he there as he claimed to be an interested citizen who was coming over to protect property?
He could be claimed in that group as well as anyone else, but the situation that was presented to him was different. So if you watch the videos of these LARPing people where David Rosenbaum, I only know his last name. Rosenbaum was in the gas station. He's screaming all obscenities at these people that appear to be LARPing, who Kyle Rittenhouse is in the background and is obtaining a fire extinguisher because they're trying to burn down a gas station and block a road. You have these weedy looking people that are LARPing out here where you have Kyle Rittenhouse trying to put it out. So you could put him in that group. But essentially what happened was Kyle Rittenhouse got separated from those people and then was put in a situation where he was all alone, which, again, he probably shouldn't have been in that situation being 17 years old. But his life at this point, he had reached a point where he had somebody that clearly earlier in the night was completely ecstatic. He was angry. He recently got out of jail. He's mad at the system, and he wanted somebody to target.
Right, and that's part of you're talking about Rose, the fellow. And again, you and I having a conversation. I want people to be able to follow this conversation, Matt. Okay, that's important.
Then let's break it down. Definitely.
No, let's do this, Matt. Let me run my program the way I want to run my program. Okay, you know, you're not the co-host with me tonight. I want you to be aware of that. Okay. I'm giving you 7 minutes so far, and the point that I want to get to is that Rosenbaum was a legitimate protester. He had a sketchy background. He is one of the people that Rittenhouse allegedly killed, correct?
The first one,
right. And after that, Rittenhouse tried to get away from the crowd who was pretty upset with him. And he was running towards the police lines. And at one point, another guy knocked him over the head with a skateboard. He knocks down or gets stumbled, etc. That gets into all of this. The LARPing stuff to me is a peripheral issue. And I appreciate you having explained it, but I want to focus back on the case of Rittenhouse. So you've followed this case. How do you think the jury's going to find on this case, in your opinion?
I think it's going to be dependent on the amount of public influence on the case.
You followed the case. Do you predict an acquittal or a conviction?
I think he's acquitted. I don't think he committed a crime.
Okay, fair enough. Good enough. Oh, it's all I needed. That's all I needed, Bill. Matt, I've gone 9 minutes with you. I've gone 9 minutes with you. I hope you call again. We kind of got a little sidetracked on the LARPing thing, which is interesting to me. But it kind of takes me away from what I needed to talk about tonight. So I appreciate your call. Feel free to call again. You're a younger guy, I assume, because you're into this stuff. How old are you?
26.
Look, thanks for listening to Nightside. Thanks for calling. You made me aware of something I was not aware of, and I needed to understand it. But
I want you to watch the video, Dan, please.
I don't need to watch the video. I don't need to watch. You've described it adequately. I get it. I'm interested in what happens when the jury comes back. That's what my job is.
Good luck, Dan. I like the show. I like hearing you, and I like being able to call in and talk to you.
You're more than welcome, and I appreciate you taking the time. We'll come back on Nightside right after this.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
All right. I'm going to get everybody in here, and Jenny has called back. We'll get her in too. But first, Joe and Lynn. Joe, you're waiting the longest. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? I'd like to comment on this. I've been watching this, and I think and I hope the judge throws this case out with prejudice because of what the prosecutor did. I'm on the boy's side because he was interviewed, or his mother, well, he wasn't interviewed. He was explaining it. He was there to help people and got into the situation. And these guys, Rosenbaum and those, they were bad people. They were bad people, as they said on court TV. So that's my take, and I'm going to watch it some more. But it's a tough trial to watch. He broke down the stand and cried and everything.
Yeah, no, I know that, and we had a lot of sound there that I could have played on it. But I'm glad that people called in like yourself. So you predict an acquittal?
Either acquittal, or I hope the judge throws it out.
Yeah, I don't think the judge can throw it out at this point, particularly
you mean prejudice. prejudice?
I don't think the judge is likely to grant a directed verdict. I think it'll go to the jury. Yeah. Judges always have an opportunity after verdicts. They can issue what's called the judgment NOV, notwithstanding the verdict. It's clear where the judge's sentiments feel, but I think that he will probably want to see it go to the jury. We'll see what happens, okay?
Can I ask you one quick? Is Mohammed Noor going to get out of jail because they overturned that part of that verdict?
His sentence was reduced. In effect, they threw out the murder case. And he is going to get, I'm sure, released based upon the conviction. I haven't read the state Supreme Court decision, but I think that
what do you think will happen to the boy, 17-year-old? Do you think it'll be acquitted, or do you think?
I think that they'll probably hook him on one of the lower charges, possession of a weapon or something like that, in my opinion. But we'll see. I haven't watched it long enough, Joe, to be
right.
able to offer.
Thanks All right. a bunch. Great.
Thank you much. Jenny, call back. Jenny, I got just a minute for you, so I'll listen to what you have to say. Go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Just quickly, the reason I brought up Mohammed Noor is it reversed the racist ban. And I don't think the Supreme Court would have taken the action they did, and I don't think his original sentencing and charges would have been what they were. And the same thing with Kyle Rittenhouse. If you had a black kid and there was an Oath Keepers having a riot and a black kid was set upon, I don't think they would have been charged at all in the way that he was. And I think this is what's gone so awry with society right now. It is mob mentality, Twitter mentality. And it's really scary when you have Eric Adams being threatened in New York City that they're going to have riots. And with George Floyd's nephew has been outside the courthouse with other people in Wisconsin, and they have been taping and sending up pictures. They're saying, we have pictures of the jury, we know who they are, and they're threatening the jury. And they're saying that Kenosha's going to burn, and they're saying all this stuff. And he said specifically, if we don't get the same verdict we did in the Chauvin trial.
Yeah, well, now, let me tell you, there are criminal statutes which can be invoked when you try to intimidate jurors. Jenny,
well,
I got...
They didn't, it's my question. Because it's George Floyd's nephew, and it's Black Lives Matter. That's the scary part, Dan.
Well, again, Jenny, you're a tough person to have a conversation with. We've gone a minute and a half here. I think you got it all in, but I got other callers who I want to accommodate as well, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Bill in Cleveland. Bill, you're going to wrap the hour for us. Go ahead.
Hey, Dan. I think Jenny had a point. If the races were reversed on that up in Minnesota, that would have been a big difference. You had that kid in Texas.
Which case you talking about now? Are you talking about
where the Somali cop was going shot the woman that approached?
So if it was a white cop who shot a black woman under the circumstances,
I think you would have riots and the penalty would be much more severe.
The fact that you're missing is that the Somali cop shoots it before the George Floyd case. The George Floyd case occurs with Chauvin with his knee on the guy's neck for whatever it was, 8.5,
no,
9.
No, look, it's both bad, Dan. We know that. Listen,
no, but I'm saying is if that was a black cop with his knee on the neck of a white guy in Minnesota, are you and Jenny trying to tell me that cop wouldn't have been prosecuted?
All right, I'll put it this way. Do you think you would have 200 cities being burned to the ground? Is that what happened? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. But that's a separate issue. Again, go ahead.
I'm saying when she said about in Texas a couple months ago, you had that a black kid shoot up a high school. Shot a teacher in the back. I think the other kid got shot 3 times, a couple other people. He was out the next day. They had a birthday cake or they had a cake for him and everything else because he was getting bullied. So, I mean, it's kind of like, what's going on here?
Well, look, we're hopscotching cases in cities, and as much as I love the conversations, it's difficult to deal with any of these in 15 seconds. I think you have to break down each case. I was trying to focus on the Rittenhouse case for an hour.
Well, as far as Rittenhouse goes,
Again, I'm having a tough time, Bill, with the conversation.
I know, because I'm up against the clock and all that. I'm trying to get it all in. That's all, Dan.
But see, here's the thing, Bill. Let me explain. Bill, let me explain.
Where were the National Guard by an American city being burned to the ground, and you got some kid out there trying to defend it? You don't have the cops out there. You don't have the National Guard.
The cops were out there, Bill. The cops were out there that night.
Well, I guess they were letting
you. And, Bill, let me just say this. You generally are a much more reasonable caller, okay? What I do on this program is I'm the host, and we do a conversation. And if for people who feel they just want to call up and bloviate for 3 minutes, that's not what this show is all about.
No, I know.
We have a conversation, okay? And what happens is when you or Jenny or anyone just has to get it all out, like just regurgitate as much as quickly as you can, I then end up talking over like we're doing right now, and no one hears anything, and it's lousy radio. We don't do lousy radio.
Dan, maybe you're our therapist.
Gotta go, Bill. We'll talk to you again. Thanks. We will be back right after the 11 o'clock news here on Nightside.